When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Have you ever felt surrounded by darkness and gripping fear, like an invisible enemy was attacking you? Did you feel as if you'd never find a way to escape the depression and dark, hopeless feelings? If so, then you certainly aren't alone. Many Christians today know all too well what it's like to face spiritual warfare. And many times, they don't understand how to deal with it. But the good news is that there is hope. It's not impossible to overcome the enemy's schemes, to walk in the victory and peace that can only come from Jesus Christ. We might have much in common with a man from the Old Testament named Elijah. There is the familiar tale of Elijah standing boldly on Mount Carmel, and it was as if the mountains themselves represented the peaks of his faith. As the sun shone brightly down on him, and the gathering of more than 400 prophets of Baal, he stared confidently into the heavens above them. On this day, he felt he was on the mountaintop, enjoying a solid walk with God. And it was during these times that he seemed like the pillar of faith and obedience that many knew him to be. But there was one in Elijah's life who brought him to nightmare-like episodes of internal struggle, driving to flee him into the wilderness with dark and depressing thoughts. That one's name was Jezebel, and she was the wife of King Ahab. But she was also a princess of Sidon, who worshipped the false Canaanite god, Baal. She was influential in her husband turning away from God to follow this false deity. She was cunning and ruthless, cutting down the prophets of the Lord in a bloodbath that she hoped would bring a swift end to the worship of the one true and living God. The scene on Mount Carmel came about after Elijah had confronted Ahab and Jezebel, proposing a challenge that they had never expected. Each would prepare a bull as a sacrifice and then call their God to send fire from heaven to consume it. On one side was Elijah, bold, secure, and entirely confident that the true and living God would win this contest. On the other side were 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, and everyone from Jerusalem, standing by in spine-tingling anticipation of what was to come. Elijah was kind enough to allow the prophets of Baal to go first, and watched as they drove themselves into a fevered frenzy. They cried, they shouted, and jumped all over the altar from morning until noon. They even slashed themselves with knives and spears, all to no avail, as their chosen God remained silent. After some not so good-natured mocking,
when we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. with digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
And ridiculing of these false prophets, Elijah took center stage and began his preparations. First, he repaired the altar, which had been torn down, and then he arranged the wood, cut the sacrifices into pieces, and carefully arranged them on the altar. But Elijah went a step further. He soaked down the sacrifice and the altar with water. But he went further and dug a trench around the altar, filling it with 12 barrels of water. The onlookers stood by silently, watching every move Elijah made, and curiosity began to rise higher and higher. After Elijah had reverently addressed the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he made it plain that he was doing all of these things at his word. Then he asked God to hear his prayer so the people would know he was God and turn their hearts back to him. When the blaze of the all-consuming fire broke through the heavens, it was far more than a simple bolt of lightning. This event was a supernatural one that engulfed first the sacrifice of flesh. But it went on to consume the wood, the stones that made up the altar, and the dust of the earth around it. Then, as the false prophets and other onlookers watched, the fire licked up every drop of water that had been used to fill the trench, leaving nothing behind but the assurance that the Lord God was indeed the true God of Israel. As a result, he commanded them to apprehend and slaughter every single prophet of Baal and Asherah there in Kishon Valley. This would have been a great victory for any average Christian in today's spiritual climate. Watching God work in ways that no one can question is fantastic. But just as would happen with us, spiritual warfare began to weigh heavy on Elijah as soon as God won this battle. You would think, after such a glorious display, Elijah's confidence would have increased and smothered out fear and doubt. Ahab and Jezebel would have repented and turned to God with whole hearts. But this is far from what happened. When Jezebel found out what Elijah had done, a furious and vengeful anger danced across her countenance. She brought in her messenger, and with a rough growl, she gave him the dark promise to deliver to Elijah. "May the gods deal with me ever so severely if, by this time tomorrow, I do not make your life like that of one of them." You see, demonic powers still operate today as they did all those years ago. They wage warfare by digging in against God's people. Yes, even you. Working to spread fear, destruction, and intimidation by any means possible. Elijah's reaction looked very similar to what ours might have looked like in a similar situation. When he received that cryptic message, he ran for his life. He hid deep in the wilderness, sat down, and told God he wanted to die right there, because he had had enough. That's when the supernatural occurred. After a nap, Elijah awoke to the touch of an angel who had baked a meal and brought fresh, cold water for him to drink. He went back to sleep, but the angel woke him again, giving him more nourishment. Today, the enemy's tactics are still the same. He will come against us like a raging flood, snarling, snapping, and desiring to take our lives. But as Christians, we don't have to fear any evil that comes our way or threatens our existence. If we run to God, He will save us from all evil spirits. As a woman, Jezebel wasn't just unfriendly or mean. She was demonically driven to hunt and destroy God's prophets. Now, you don't go against the work of the Lord with such intensity and such ferocity unless you are driven by an evil spirit. A spirit that seeks to destroy the things of God. Something that works in opposition is only from the devil. And so it is clear that this was a woman used of the devil. Now, I would like to explain what the spirit of Jezebel is. Its main objective is to destroy the work of God, to destroy the man of God and the woman of God. It's a spirit that is of a tempter, a seducer, one that lures people away from God with the intention of destroying their faith, their hope, joy, and peace. Perhaps you've known a person like this in your life, someone who is always seducing and leading others into trouble. Now, be wise. Don't automatically think or relate seduction simply to sex. Money can seduce. People do crazy things for money. The thought of fame, the opportunity for fame, can be seductive to some. Lord knows people are willing to do crazy and unspeakable things, all to become famous. Evil can seduce too. Matthew 4, verse 1, says that then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, when it comes to a person with the spirit of Jezebel on a person, this is beyond someone being a troublemaker. This is someone who specifically leads others into trouble, into sin and destruction. Jesus says it this way: "Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come." This verse in Matthew: we must be guarded. We must be very guarded as believers against this spirit of Jezebel, or the spirit of the seducer and tempter. God dealt severely with the historical Jezebel because of the way she seduced Ahab, and by extension, all Israel, into idolatry. And we just heard what Jesus had to say about those who lead others into temptation in Matthew 18. This is not something that God takes lightly, and neither should we. So, how do we guard against the spirit of Jezebel? How can we keep ourselves from being a person that leads others into temptation and sin? First, we can commit to living righteous lives ourselves. When you strive for righteousness, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you have your priorities in check. You are intentionally taking steps towards becoming a better Christian each day. You are intentionally building your faith through the Word of God each day. You are intentionally strengthening your relationship with Jesus through prayer each day. So it becomes difficult for us to lead others or to be led into sin when we are striving to live according to God's Word. On the other hand, can we sincerely be trying to follow God's word and still unwittingly lead people into temptation and sin? Sure. But I believe that Jesus, in Matthew 18, was talking about people who intentionally lead people into temptation. People who are motivated to sin or to lead others into sin, falling into sin, and deliberately leading others into sin are two different things. So the first step is not embodying a Jezebel spirit or being falling for this spirit. It is to commit to righteousness. Be so focused on the things of God that the spirit of Jezebel will find no room to tempt you enough to fall. Secondly, we must be mindful of our influence. Some people are natural-born leaders. They have a certain gravitas and magnetism about them. They are influencers, whether they know it or not. We must be very mindful of the influence we are having on people, as well as the influence we allow others to have in our lives. If we are parents, we are influencing our children. If you are an older sibling, chances are you're influencing your younger siblings. If you are a pastor or a leader of any sort, you are influencing those beneath you. Even if you hold no official leadership positions, if you are an influential person in your circle, reflect on how you are using that influence. Are you using it to influence people towards righteousness or towards sin? Are you influencing people toward God or away from God? This is something we all must examine within ourselves. And on the opposite side of things, look at those closest to you. What's their influence to you? Are they leading you to the church or the club, to purity or unrighteousness? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." Be careful who you allow to influence you in your life and the type of influence they have over you. Refuse to be influenced by evil. Now, finally, we should separate ourselves from those with the spirit of Jezebel, especially once we've identified this seductive and destructive spirit. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthian church, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person." Paul is clear that we should not associate with people that are staunchly committed to staying in their sin. If they are repentant and willing to change, that's another story. But if they are like Jezebel, and fire raining down from heaven won't change their minds or hearts, we should not associate with them. This can get very complicated if that person is someone in your own family. In that scenario, pray to God for wisdom and ask your local pastor or counselor how best to handle it. At the end of the day, we should not allow anybody to lead us away from God. So commit yourself to righteousness. Be mindful of your own influence, whether it's godly or sinful in nature. Be mindful of the influence of those around you. Are they leading you to God or to the devil? And finally, separate ourselves from those with the spirit of Jezebel. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.